Translation: the sage Jamadagni was engaged in great austerity in the forest, received the king very well, along with the king's soldiers, ministers and carriers. He supplied all the necessities to worship this guest, for he possessed a Kamadhenu cow that was able to supply everything. Purport: the Brahma Samhita informs us that the spiritual world, and especially the planet Goloka Vrindavan, where Krishna lives, is full of Surabhi cows. Surabhi Abhipalayantam. The Surabhi cow is also called Kamadhenu. Although Jamadagni possessed only one Kamadhenu, he was able to get from it everything desirable. Thus he was able to receive the king, along with the king's great number of followers, ministers, soldiers, animals and palanquin carriers. When we speak of a king, we understand that he is accompanied by many followers. Jamadagni was able to receive all the king's followers properly and fed them sumptuously with food prepared in ghee. The king was astonished at how opulent Jamadagni was because of possessing only one cow, and therefore he became envious of the great sage. This was the beginning of his offense. Parashuram, the incarnation of Supreme Personality of Godhead, killed Kartavirya Arjun because Kartavirya Arjun was too proud. One may possess unusual opulence in this material world, but if one becomes puffed up and acts whimsically, he will be punished by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the lesson to learn from this history, in which Parshuram became angry at Kartavirya Arjun and killed him and rid the entire world of the Kshatriyas 21 times. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patita Nam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Namaha. Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gauratvishe Namaha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Shabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jayashi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Once again, very happy to be with all of you in this beautiful place, Bhaktivedanta Manor. So we are just continuing our discussion of Srimad Bhagavatam, the chapter entitled Parshuram, the Lord's Warrior Incarnation, and we are at a critical portion of this beautiful story, in which Prabhupada of course summarizes the whole episode in this particular purport of what is going to happen in the next few verses. Srimad Bhagavatam, and the fact that Srila Prabhupada asked us to read and study it every day as part of our regular temple regime, not only temple but wherever we are, there's a purpose, because Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, That the purpose is that we are trying to remove all the abhadras, or all the unwanted things from the heart. And for that, regular nitya action is required. So when we read these beautiful stories, it is not only entertaining, not only very revealing, but it is something that is very, very important for us to imbibe in our own lives. It is not just a story that we read and we appreciate and we say, oh, this is beautiful. So here, we have an episode which happens so very often, of a person who has so many things. Just in the few verses before, where we had seen what is the opulence of Kartavir Arjun, how powerful he is, and what sort of benediction that he got from Dattatreya, whom he meditated upon, having 1,000 arms, undefeatable opulence, great opulence. And in his fit of ego, because after you get so much opulence, you know, what to talk of, you know, a person having 2 strong arms, you know, we see how proud they are. I mean, you know, we can see in their photographs, we see all these big, you know, posters, people posing with 2 strong arms. You know, how proud they look. There's absolutely no trace of humility on their face. Forget, you know, dealing with them is something different. I like to see how, I mean, I saw some videos on how one of the most powerful boxer, how he entered into the boxing arena. I won't name him, but you know, how he entered and then how he was coming with boom, boom, and somebody in between, he just threw him out. You know, I said, well, what is this? You know, I mean, there's so much pride that, you know, they just can't tolerate anybody. They want to show their power. I mean, this is an insignificant, small, tiny little man who has slogged out for years to get some muscles and 6, 7, 8 packs, whatever you call it, and just 2 arms. But can you imagine if you have a benediction, a divine benediction? Now, this is all very mundane, the muscular body that we see in this day and age. When we talk about divine power, power coming down from higher sources of demigods, you know, what sort of power is that? And that not just 2 arms. How many arms? 1,000 arms. I don't know how he fitted it all there. I mean, you know, if you just try to figure out, but it was there. And each of those arms were extremely powerful. And just before this episode, Sukadeva Goswami very beautifully explains that how he completely humbled Ravan. Ravan was, and we know how powerful Ravan was. Of course, this was the young Ravan when he was maybe just becoming a real Ravan. but he completely destroyed Ravan and just put him into very insignificant situation. So that was the power of Kartavir Arjun. Very, very powerful. He practically stopped, you know, the flow of the river Narmada. And that's how he overflew into the camp of Ravan. That's how there was a fight. So he was, the Bhagavatam, Sukadeva Goswami very beautifully explains that how powerful he was. He became undefeatable by the enemies and received unobstructed sensory powers, beauty, influence, strength, fame, mystic power, anima, lagima, everything that you want. Thus, having been fully opulent, he roamed around the universe without opposition, just like the wind. Now, this is so beautifully explained by Sukadeva Goswami. What is the situation of Kartavir Arjun after he got the power? Moving just like a wind means what? Unobstructed. No obstruction at all. Wind, we can't obstruct the wind. You may be very powerful, but you can't stop the wind. And that's the comparison done for Kartavir Arjun. He moved around unobstructed. So when you have such powers, we can use the word naturally you become proud, but it is artificial still. But in the material sense, it is so natural to become proud because you just have no opposition. You are just so powerful. Who can obstruct you? So Kartavir Arjun, in his fit of his pride and with all the entourage that he was traveling with, he entered into a very humble cottage of Jamadagni. You know, and you know, when you enter into a place where you know it is humble, you're naturally feeling that I'm going to give him something. I'm going to, you know, pass on what I have. And that too, if you are very powerful, to that much more extent you feel they are going to give much more to the place where it appears to be very humble, where it appears to be very, very ordinary. And many times we experience this because I'm connected to the Bhaktivedanta Hospital and to the hospice. And many times devotees, one of my godbrother, Stoka Krishna Prabhu, many years back, he was suffering from cancer, young man. And then I was feeling so sad and so, he had a young wife was pregnant. It was a very, very sad situation. And I just thought I'll meet him. The first time I went to meet him after the news was broken, I went to meet him and I said, I must give him my association. That was what I was thinking because I thought I had something to give. And I went to him and I was so utterly humbled. Because this man was just so deeply Krishna conscious. And that's a different story. I mean, we don't want to really elaborate. But I realized that when we think you can give something, because you think you have to give something, and you go to a place which apparently looks very humble. This man with cancer, I thought, what does he have to give? He is a poor man, suffering, going to die. I must give him some Krishna consciousness. But when I saw that, what opulence he had, about the deep conviction that what Krishna had given me is perfect, and this is the exact thing what I want. And he was meditating in line with what Bhaktivedanta Swami was meditating. This was his inspiration. And then I realized, well, what do I have to give? This man is giving me tons and tons of things. Now, there can be two reactions to this. The one reaction is that you become humble and you take this gift that this apparently humble person is giving. Or the second reaction is that you become envious. So this guy is faking, how can he be so Krishna conscious? He's just faking. That's what you think. Because you don't want to believe that somebody at this situation can give you something. And that was the situation of Kartivir Arjun. What can Jamadagni give me? He is an ordinary sage. Just having one cow, his ordinary hermitage that I've entered, and see what I have. I have a big opulent, see my arms, I have 1,000 arms. And that they are powerful, they are not just stuck to it. It is not some cardboard arms that I have. Many times when we do dramas, we sometimes take heart to stick two more arms. Sometimes the arms go, Vishnu, we try to, but this was real powerful arms of that he had. And his entourage and everything. So he said that what can this man give? And when actually, Jamadagni could supply everything to him. The best of food. Everything came from this one cow. He was wondering, what is this? He had everything. Kartivir Arjun had everything. Fame, opulence, beauty, power, all the Shad Aishwarya, not Purna of course. He was not Purna of all this. But he had all these opulences, six opulences that a person would want to have. And then he saw Jamadagni having, he said, how can I not have something which somebody has? There's one cow and he's able to give everything. So this is the situation that when we try to imagine the benefits or the opulence that the other person is enjoying, and we don't have that benefits or the enjoyment or the opulence, then the natural outcome is that we forget the gifts of God that we have received. Because we see something that we don't have. Passive, non-appreciating behavior is the beginning of envy. When you passively are not able to appreciate things, appreciate people, appreciate the qualities of people, the passive non-appreciating is actually beginning of envy. It leads to envy. So Kartivir Arjun was not able to appreciate what? Two things. That the opulence that he had. Now so many things that God had given him, he had so many reasons to be happy about. But the nature of envy, the nature of insecurity that we experience when we see people who have things which we don't have, is that we become very, very envious. We become very, very dissatisfied. And the dissatisfaction, if not mixed with humility, it leads to enthusiasm. If dissatisfaction is mixed with humility, leads to enthusiasm. Oh, I must do something to get what he has. That's positive. But the dissatisfaction mixed with ego leads to envy.
Oh, say, I don't have something. And if you're egoistic, I said, I must do anything to bring him down. And that's what we experience day in and day out in our Krishna consciousness. That's why Bhagavatam is not just a storybook. It's not the story that you share things and you feel, oh, this is the story, this is that story. But it's actually like a live operation that is going on, an open heart surgery that goes on every morning in our hearts. Srila Prabhupada, Sukadeva Goswami, they are operating our hearts and revealing to us the blockages that are there, which are not allowing the flow of spiritual energy to flow in our Krishna consciousness life. So many blockages. And here, one of the serious blockages that Sukadeva Goswami is revealing to us is a blockage of envy. And so many examples we have of envy. So many examples, not one. The big reason is because it's so important that we learn to deal with this envy. Time and again, in various stories, Sukadeva Goswami tells us various stories about how dangerous envy is. We have this story of Maharaj Chitraketu and his wives. And they were all very loving. I mean, you know, they were all very simple, loving wives of Chitraketu. He was trying to get children, and he couldn't succeed. It's a long story to cut it short. One wife succeeded. One wife got a child for him, and he was just so happy. He was naturally drawn to her more than other wives. So here again a situation. Rather than being happy that at least our husband, the object of our love, is happy that we actually got a child. And they were all co-wives, co-mothers. They could have actually thought that this is great news. That at least after years and years of tapasya, years and years of trying, there's at least one child who is born in our kingdom, who can really become the next king. But no. Dissatisfaction mixed with ego or arrogance leads to envy. They are dissatisfied. How this lady? And of course it was not so right on the path of, I mean, it is natural that Chitraketu became drawn to her because she did something which nobody could do. And Chitraketu was, and they became very envious. And what was the result of envy? There are three things that happen when we become envious. First of all, it is complete loss of intelligence. When a person is envious, he just loses all his intelligence. He can't think. There is no rationale behind what he does, how he does, and why he does it. Because he's just in a fit of envy. He doesn't see the real thing. Intelligence means to discriminate. Viveka buddhi. To decide, to discern, to find out whether what is right and what is wrong. When we become envious, you lose your discriminatory powers. You just do what comes in your mind. So that's what happened. The queens, they lost all their intelligence because of envy. And when you lose your intelligence, then what happens? The second thing, you become hard-hearted. This intelligence is not something that, the real intelligence is not something that is born in the brain. The real intelligence crops out from the heart. When you talk about intelligence, the data intelligence, that comes from the brain. You know, the preserving data. That's a brain intelligence. But when you talk about Viveka Buddhi, when you talk about a discriminatory intelligence, that comes from the heart, where the heart which is Krishna conscious, gives the understanding of what is right and what is wrong. So when you lose the intelligence out of envy, the second stage that we all go through is hard-heartedness. We become very hard-hearted, cruel. How can a lady ever think of poisoning a small child? And much more so, a small child who is actually their own child. Maybe they are not the real mothers, but it's their husband's child. How? Only if they were hard-hearted. Right? So the loss of intelligence leads to hard-heartedness. You see any situation. Take the case of Kaikai. Envy?
giving rise to hard-heartedness. Ram should be banished for 14 years. This lady, just a few hours back, was in love with Ram. She was in ecstasy, and all her life, that was the situation. She was just in deep love with Ram. A soft heart that she had. The moment that drop of envy went into her heart, that soft heart, it was such a chemical which made things so hard, that drop of envy just converted the soft heart into a very, very hard place. So loss of intelligence leading to hard-heartedness, and the hard-heartedness leads to destructive action. Then we want to, because loss of intelligence, then hard-heartedness leading to some physical action. Because you can't just stay with that envy in your heart. You want to do something about it. You want to do something, and sometimes it may take you years or decades to do something about it. But you do something, and you see people taking revenge. I said, you're 20 years back, you told me this. This is what you are. And that's a revenge. So 20 years, you are preparing for that destructive action. And that's what the queens did. They fed him poison. Harshashok. They fed him poison and he died. So this is the outcome of envy. The queens. It begins with loss of intelligence. Then it leads to hard-heartedness, and then finally some destructive action. So Kartavir Arjun had the same order. That when he saw that Jamadagni was an ordinary sage, so simple, but how is it that he could do something which I can't do, which is with a cow? Hard-heartedness. Rather than really understanding and thanking God for the gifts that he had given him, and appreciating the gifts that he had given to Jamadagni, he said, take that cow away. And if it means to destroy Jamadagni, destroy him. And as you see in the further pages of Bhagavatam, you will read that he actually killed Jamadagni. What a hard... just what began as just a roaming. He came in a roaming way to his hermitage. He ends up killing him. Can you imagine? You go to somebody's house, you don't like something, and you kill him. It's so strange. How can somebody be so hard-hearted? But it is all about envy. When you envy, you lose all your intelligence. So he killed Jamadagni. And of course, there's a beautiful story. That the title of the story, Parshuram. He comes into power. He's the hero of this chapter. So it is very important that when we read these chapters of Bhagavatam, that we apply these situations in our own lives. Because in our own way, we are small Ravanas, small Kartavir Arjunas, small Shishupals, and small Dantavakras, and small, all these demons, they're all sitting in our heart. You may not, because we have two arms, so we might be small Kartavir Arjunas. We don't have 1,000 arms. But the fact is, we do the same thing. What Kartavir Arjuna did. And it could lead to the same situation, what happened, a killing of a sage, of a great sage. So, time and again, we learn there's a need to really deal with this serious enemy of envy. Many times, if you analyze in our Krishna consciousness practice, people, when we discuss to devotees, Machita Madhagada Prana Bodhyanta Parasparam Kathentas Chamam Nityam Tu Shanticha Ramanticha, the two devotees, when they come together, they discuss about Krishna. And part of discussing about Krishna is to discuss about how we are not able to surrender to Krishna, the difficulty that we all go through. So if two devotees discuss, it may be very easy for, or to that extent, not so difficult to accept that, yes, I am lusty. Sometimes people say, oh, Prabhu, I am very lusty. But have you ever, you don't hear so often people saying, Prabhu, I am very envious. Because the fact is, to accept that you are lusty is much easier, because you know obviously you are lusty. Because of your actions. Your thoughts and your actions. But whenever the power of envy is so, it's just so subtle that you so easily justify your actions, which actually, Shri Radha Gokulanand ki, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ji ki.
That you so very clearly justify that you are not envious. You are just pointing out the obvious faults that are there. You think when our friend Shishupal was blaspheming Krishna, was he thinking that he is envious? He actually was convinced 100% that Krishna is whatever things that you are speaking. He is a debauchee. He is a thief. He is a liar. He was convinced. So what he was thinking is, I am making everybody aware in this courtroom how useless this fellow is. Why should you worship him? So Shishupal was not thinking that he is envious. He was convinced. He is just something which is revealed to him. He's sharing that revelation with everybody else. That's the envy. Because you can easily convince yourself and others. Because more in envy, you have to convince yourself. Because when I say, actually, I'm not envious. I'm simply a well-wisher. Right? I'm simply a well-wisher. I'm simply trying to show you the faults that he has, how he should improve, because I'm actually a well-wisher. I love him. But actually, deep-rootedly, it is serious envy. A serious envy. So the first way to get rid of this serious envy is to first accept it, that yes, we are envious. Because potentially, when we are envious of Krishna, we are envious of everybody who is connected to Krishna, and that is everybody else, everybody in the material world, everybody in the world. And the reason why we are in the material world is because we are envious of Krishna. Isn't it? Once upon a time, we were lovers of Krishna. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kabunoy Sravanadi Suddhi Chitta Karori Odoy. That the pure love of God is there dormant in everyone's heart, it is there present. But it has been covered by the cloud of ignorance. Right? So it is there in our heart. We used to be lovers of God because of envy. How can Krishna enjoy? And why I'm not enjoying? How can I be enjoyed? Envy. You are down in the material world. So first you must accept that whether you know it or not, whether you believe it or not, whether you accept it or not, we are all potentially envious people. And we have serious trouble of envy. So first way to get rid of envy is to accept it. Yes, I am envious. If you don't accept something, how can you really do anything about it? If you don't accept that you are diseased, how will you ever go to the doctor? How will you ever take the medicine? Why I say this? Because it's easy to accept that you are greedy. It's easy to accept that you are lusty. It's obviously obvious to you that you are angry. But it is very, very, very difficult to accept that you are envious. And it is very, very easy to justify how that you are not envious. And that you are a well-wishing friend of the people, of the person that you are envious, or the people that you are envious about. And then, the second thing is, to understand that what is the goal of our Krishna consciousness. And I see in my own life that, you know, it is always important to go back to the first few days of your Krishna consciousness and to think why you came to Krishna consciousness. All of us were very, very nice people. Hopefully we all are still nice, but we are surely very nice, sane people when we came to Krishna consciousness, because we all got attracted to Krishna and we wanted to have pure devotional service. When we first came to Krishna consciousness, a few days, we saw everybody that we dealt with as pure devotees. Prabhu, you are a pure devotee. Prabhu, you are a pure devotee. You are so nice. And that was the mentality which was nice. Maybe it was naive, but it was nice. But then you spend more time in Krishna consciousness, and we also practice, and then you realize that not everybody is a pure devotee, you know. You start to recognize that, you know, we are, many of them are, but not everybody, because I saw this person doing this and this lady doing that and this guru doing this. Not everybody is a pure devotee.
And if you are not properly situated, if you are not having proper satsang, if you are not properly nourished with Bhagavad Katha and Shuddha Naam, then as you spend more time in Krishna consciousness, you realize that, well, not everybody is a pure devotee, and I am not that bad after all, you know, I am quite good. You know, people are not, I mean, not everybody is a pure devotee, and I am not that bad. And if this mentality continues, sorry to say, and we have, you know, it could be, and it is the fact in some situations, that we feel that everybody is useless, only I am the right person. I mean, it sounds strange to a sane devotee, like, I mean, we are all sane sitting here, that's why we are sane. But it sounds strange, but there could be a situation, unfortunately, where Maya can bring us to a thought process, where we actually believe that everybody is useless. I understand my guru's heart, I understand Krishna's heart, I am the only sane person, everybody else is useless. So we must remember why we came to Krishna consciousness. We came here to get Krishna bhakti. We came here in complete humility. This whole envy came into picture when we lost our way somewhere on the path. Let us all remember, why are we in Krishna consciousness? Are we here to find faults? Why should you waste your time? There is short time and lots to do. Isn't it? That sometimes when you have a lot of work and you have a short time, you don't bother with something which is not so important. Managing other people's lives is not your business, if it is not your service. Why should you be worried about somebody else doing good or bad? Just worry about your own spiritual life. Is there not enough work for you? Is it that you have so much time that you want to devote to other people's problems and you want to find out whether he's right or he's wrong? And if he is right, then I want to be envious of him because, you know, there's so much work to do, right? So second principle is, and just remember why we came to Krishna consciousness. There is no need to be envious, because there is enough for everybody. Krishna has given enough qualities to everybody to make progress and come to him. Vasudeva Kutumbakam. There's enough for everybody. It's not that one person has something. There's something in you which you have that others don't have. There's a second principle. And the third principle is, you know, for lust, as I said, you know, you could work hard. And maybe there's a practical, you know, brahmacharya type of ideas where you can eat less food, eat less sweets, which helps, no doubt. You know, eat light in the night, don't eat this type of foods, and it helps, no doubt, it helps in our thoughts. But with envy, there is no external activities that you can do. The third thing to get rid of envy is intense prayers to Krishna. That's all. Because this is such a quality that only Krishna can help us. Because our idea is to remove the negativity. One way is to work hard and to remove the negativity. But the second way to remove negativity is to flood your heart with tons of positivity. Negativity is gone already. You want to remove the darkness, what do? Can you remove the darkness? No. You simply add the light. Isn't it? We don't say you remove dark. How can you remove darkness? You simply add light, darkness is gone. Similarly, when you fill your heart with tons of positivity of the glories of Krishna, and when you understand the glory of Krishna, Krishna is so great, there's natural prayers that come out from your heart. Because when somebody is great, naturally you appreciate that person. And the prayers come out. And when you fill your heart with a lot of prayers, naturally envy, which is a negative quality, it has no place. It has no place in your heart. And the fourth, we're just rushing. We'll end by 8:30. Right? So the fourth point of getting rid of envy is open your heart to appreciating others. There's so much need of appreciating. He said, Prabhupada said in one of his letters, I don't know which one, he said, our business, Prabhupada said, the business of devotees is to appreciate each other. I mean, devotees' business. We talk of business. What is your business? I'm a chartered accountant. What is your business? I'm a trader.
What is the business of a devotee? The business of a devotee is to appreciate each other. So if you are just busy appreciating devotees, and not in a way which appears unreal, that again is a problem. Now it's just somebody people, oh Prabhu, you are so great, you give a nice class. But where did I give a class? I didn't give a class for last 15 days. Oh, you didn't give a class. Oh. As sometimes, you know, you go to a speaker, it happened to me. You know, you go to a very, you know, speaker who gave a nice class, and you say, what a nice class. And the speaker says, what did you like? And then you say, oh, what did I like? What did I like? What did I like? So, you know, that appreciation, if it is there, and of course you like the class, but it has to be something very genuine. Right? So in general, and if you want to really, really get rid of this envy, the fourth important principle, there are many principles, is to genuinely be eager. That's why when you see a success of a devotee, when other devotee is successful, if you are a book distributor and you see other devotee who distributed much more books than you, the negative side is you tolerate that devotee. You just tolerate that he is better than you. And you go beyond in the number line, from negative comes zero. And that you are, I'm happy that you are you distribute more books. Happiness, there's something positive. But we as devotees are not just supposed to be happy with other people's success. We're supposed to celebrate other people's success. Happiness is all internal, but celebration is action. A devotee is supposed to celebrate the success of other people. Oh, you have done so great. Because the amazing thing about spiritual life is that when you appreciate somebody, that person who has done a nice quality, he has made progress because he has done some nice service. And obviously by this service he has made progress. But when we learn to appreciate that person, then we make more progress than that devotee. Now you will say, oh, it is nice, but the fact that Krishna is allowing us to make progress just by appreciating, that means this process of appreciating is very difficult. Otherwise, Krishna would not give that gift to us. If something is so nice, it will not be given so easily. So whether we can say, oh, just appreciate and I'll make more progress. But it is so difficult. I'm sure all of us have experienced, right? It's not easy to appreciate. You hear somebody's good quality and you know, that person, you can appreciate somebody who's not competing directly with you. A book distributor can appreciate a gardener very easily. Oh, what nice flowers. You are a great gardener. Because he's not a threat to you anyways. So you say, well, see, I'm appreciating. The nature of appreciation is there in my heart. I have no problem. See this. I can appreciate. But you bring a news to that book distributor. I'm sorry, I'm just using the book distribution example. But nothing against anybody. Because the book distribution is one very quantifiable service. We can quantify it, right? 50 books, 100 books. Oh, he did better than me. So that's why this is very interesting. You know. So you bring a story to a book distributor about another book distributor and see if you can appreciate. Oh, yes. You know, maybe he did something wrong. Maybe he didn't give his score yesterday and he put his yesterday's score also today. So you start rationalizing. And how can he do better than me? And then you start rationalize it. That he can't be better than me. So that's the problem, with envy. So if you can simply learn this particular quality of just accepting, and then the last we want to just add the story of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Gopal Chapala. I mean Srivas Thakur and Gopal Chapala. The danger of being envious. If you are not careful about controlling this envy, Gopal Chapal was envious of Srivas Thakur. Because Srivas was getting more fame than Gopal Chapal, who was actually a great Brahmana. He was actually a spiritualist. Very high class Brahmana. And Srivas Thakur was getting more fame, more people coming to his house for his mercy. And Gopal Chapal naturally became very envious. Again, as I said, the point that envy reaches is destructive action. He put all sorts of obnoxious items in front of Srivas Thakur. That, see, Srivas, you thinking he's a great devotee of Krishna? See, he's involved in also mundane, not even mundane, a mode of ignorance type of worship of Durga, and he put all this Durga worship material in front of his house, thinking that people will just realize how useless he is. Destructive action. And Shivas, he came out and he said, yeah, see, this is what I do. He told everybody. And when you accept something which you are not in a humble way, people say, no, how can you be like that? If you justify, people say, see, he's justifying, that means something wrong. Shiva said, this is what I do. He called everybody, said, this is what I do. Please don't take me seriously. I'm not a great devotee of the Lord. Because he was not bothered about public opinion. A devotee is not bothered about public opinion. So he was not bothered. And then Gopal Chappal, in next few days, he got leprosy. And leprosy was such a dreaded disease at that time that you were thrown out of the society. You have to stay in a very, very isolated place. And all your beauty just goes off because there's no cure. So leprosy, in our society, we don't see people having leprosy. That means, is it that nobody is envious? No, leprosy does not manifest, in the way it manifested literally in the case of Gopal Chappal. But the leprosy, what is leprosy? It is our skin becomes white. Our skin becomes... Our whole Krishna consciousness becomes white, becomes pale, becomes infected. That's the danger of envy, if you don't take care of it. And then whatever comes out is simply infectious words, which not only infect you, but infects everybody else that you deal with, because leprosy is contagious. Every time an envious person deals with other people, he just passes on that infection to the other person. And then the whole sangam of devotees that he deals with becomes envious and infectious. So there's a serious reason why we need to really take care. And that's why this story is so very, very important and relevant in our lives. That we understand that, as in a small way, we all could be Kartivir Arjuna. If we don't appreciate the God's gifts that Krishna has given to the other's fellow devotees, and instead of being envious, we simply appreciate that how Krishna is so wonderfully manifesting through him or through her, and appreciating that, if we just get into this big tall task of being envious of something, it's difficult to be envious. That for the soul is not easy. For the soul it is actually difficult. But the soul by nature is simply having quality of appreciating Satit Ananda, all of you are bliss. An envious guy can never be blissful. He's always tormented with anxiety. You'll see he's a frustrated fellow. So if we just take this very seriously, this is the lesson that we are learning from Srimad Bhagavatam, to take envy very, very seriously. And of course, the last point about how Mother Cow, it is, I can't really elaborate it, but how Mother Cow, in the case of Chamadagni, Kamadhenu Kav, can fulfill all our needs. And Srila Prabhupada also taught us how to protect Mother Cow. And how we protect cows, all our needs are taken care. That is a lesson that we can learn. I thank you very much. Hare Krishna.